Blog Talk Radio.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day off crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life
that's
new.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum again. And thank you for joining us for Wealth Creation and Preservation. Alhamdulillah. The main thing today is getting an understanding of whale games, the games that the whales are playing with the cryptocurrency. So the cryptocurrency manipulation and how to win and not lose. So obviously we have to talk about the game. We have to understand the nature of the game and how not to get played off or played out. So what we're going to do is play a couple of portions of audio clips. One of them is from the YouTuber Altcoin Daily. Its heading is Breaking News, Massive China Bitcoin Manipulation, U.S. Crypto Crackdown, Fake, ETH and Cardano News. But we won't get as far as the ETH and Cardano News. We'll just basically be speaking to the impact on the Bitcoin price of the quote-unquote news that's being distributed, better understood as FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So that'll be the first piece. We'll play about 10 minutes of that, and then I'll follow it up with Cryptos Are Us, and George is the YouTuber of name there, and under the heading, Bitcoin holders don't fall for this, here's proof. Now, I'll tell you in advance that some of the pieces that he offers, of course, they are graphics, and of course, you won't be able to see the graphics, but if you go to the YouTube site, and I'll include the link in the notes, then you can go to that and see them yourself. And inside the notes, I do put up a couple of the graphics that are mentioned only to illustrate it, and whether you truly understand them by looking at them or not, you have them in front of you, and you can go to the YouTube links themselves and actually see them in flight. I just want to create an open for the conversation of how not to get played off and get played out of your Bitcoin and get kept out of the market, because, I mean, really, there's no time like the present, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. We want to get right started. So the first is from Altcoin Daily, and then the second will be from Cryptos Are Us. And then we'll be back with more information along that line. Thanks for joining us. Allah's peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. See you in a little bit.
Everybody, to Altcoin Daily. My name is Aaron. In today's video, I want to talk to you about Cardano and Dogecoin, NFTs on Instagram. NFTs are just getting started. We'll go over everything going on in the Ethereum ecosystem. And I want to start with the breaking news of the day. That is Bitcoin being banned in China. This is huge, right? Bitcoin falls after China calls for a crackdown on Bitcoin mining and trading behavior. This is CNBC. This is breaking news. By the way, if you're new to the channel, make sure you subscribe. We drop a video every day. We keep you informed. China banning Bitcoin is the story. First of all, I'm curious to know your thoughts, especially if you're a cryptocurrency OG. What do you think about this information? But more than that, let's find out the details, because surely this is a huge, huge deal, especially the way that CNBC and the mainstream media present the information. So I'll clue you in to the details, and then we'll talk about it. Bitcoin's price tumbled Friday following an intensified call from Chinese authorities to crack down on mining and trading of the cryptocurrency. Chinese Vice Premier Liu He and the State Council said in a statement that tighter regulations are needed to protect the financial system. The statement released late Friday in China says it is necessary to crack down on Bitcoin mining and trading behavior and resolutely present the transmission of individual risks to the social field. Bitcoin's price on Coinmetrics slid more than 6% as news of the statement circulated, part of a broader plunge that has seen the digital currency tumble more than 40% from its peak. So just bad news, bad news, bad news for Bitcoin. Combine that, China's talks come just a day after U.S. officials pledge to get tough on those using Bitcoin to conduct illegal activities broadly, including tax evasion. The Treasury Department says that it will require reporting on crypto transfers of more than $10,000, just as with cash. Okay, let's unpack this a little bit. I don't know about you, but I certainly have strong feelings after reading this article. Because basically, what CNBC did here and what the mainstream media is doing all over is they're scaring you away from holding Bitcoin or buying Bitcoin. And I believe that they are painting the facts in a way that is not really intellectually honest. So let me tell you what I mean. First of all, they were making two points here. Number one, that China is cracking down on Bitcoin. China is banning Bitcoin. Obviously bad. Their second point was reminding us of the breaking news yesterday that in America, those caught using Bitcoin to conduct tax evasion or illegal activities, the Treasury Department will require reporting on crypto transfers of more than $10,000, just as with cash. So America cracking down on Bitcoin activity, China cracking down on Bitcoin activity. First of all, with China. It seems to me that whether China has an unfavorable opinion on Bitcoin, you can create FUD, just the same as if China has generally favorable opinions on Bitcoin, you can still use China and create FUD, even in the good times. Bitcoin mining centralization reaches record levels, majority China. Most of the world's Bitcoin mining still happens in one place. So you don't like when China likes Bitcoin, and you don't like when China doesn't like Bitcoin. Number one, first of all, as we reported to you yesterday, literally every single year, almost, China is banning Bitcoin. It's like 1 year after the halving, we're going to get a China bans Bitcoin message from the media. Then 1 year after that, it's all good. So this is priced in. Everybody in crypto is so used to this at this point. And number two, a crackdown on China miners would radically reduce the carbon footprint of Bitcoin mining, as you seem to have a problem with when China is favorable towards Bitcoin. So a crackdown on miners in China would radically reduce the carbon footprint of Bitcoin mining, increase the profitability of all remaining Bitcoin miners, reduce nagging China FUD, support progress towards our ESG goals, and drive up the value of Bitcoin. We should be so lucky if China bans Bitcoin. So this can be presented as good or bad. Seems to me there is a coordinated effort to paint Bitcoin as bad, to keep you away from Bitcoin. Because the other thing they include is this U.S. Treasury story. So let's talk about that. What is being reported is that crypto transactions over $10,000 are to be reported to the IRS, a serious crackdown. What is actually proposed is crypto transactions above $10,000 received by businesses need to be reported to the IRS, presumably reported by the businesses. So they're just saying, we'll let Bitcoin continue as long as businesses continue to pay their taxes. It sounds rather reasonable. So they are trying to scare you away from Bitcoin while they buy Bitcoin nice and cheap. The reason I know this is because we can look at on-chain data and see all sorts of things. I want to talk about Ethereum and Cardano and NFTs in just a second. But to finish up on this, because this speaks to the broader cryptocurrency market and what is actually happening, smart money is in accumulation mode. Remember, before you hit that panic sell button, there's always a buyer on the other side. Ask yourself, what do they know that I might not? I think this dip from 65,000 to 30,000, just like with Amazon back in 1999 and 2000, will just be a blip on the radar, right? Think big picture. Because if you actually take a look what's going on behind the scenes, this is what you start to realize. Suncrest Bank is in early discussions with NYDIG to allow its customers to buy, hold, and sell Bitcoin alongside their existing bank accounts. The California-based bank with $1.3 billion in assets under management may offer Bitcoin services later this year, says the CEO. So the institutions, the big players, this hasn't stopped them. They're continuing to build. They're continuing to, you know, put an infrastructure to allow Bitcoin to be sold to high net worth individuals and accredited investors and people of the like. And again, zooming out, Bitcoin in 2017 versus now, guys, the same thing happened in 2017. We are right on track. And even that whale who sold at 58,000 the other day, the whale who sold 3,000 bitcoins on May 9th for an average price of 58,000 has already begun to reaccumulate less than 1 week later, reaccumulating 3,521 bitcoin. It's an amazing time to be in crypto, guys. So I'm not a seller here for Bitcoin. I'm a buyer. Same thing goes for Ethereum.
And now George from Cryptos Are Us.
Welcome back to Cryptos Are Us. I am George. We're all George. I'm still away from my home, but I am heading there pretty soon. But I want to do one last stream before I leave, and that is do not fall for this. If you're a Bitcoin holder, an altcoin holder, you definitely don't want to be falling for it. I know a lot of you guys have been, and I'm going to show you proof why you shouldn't. What am I talking about? Whale games. Yes, a lot of whale games, a lot of manipulation going on, and I'm going to prove it to you that it's happening right in front of your eyes and why you should not fall for it. A lot of FUD, a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty recently, and that is why these whale games are increasing, intensifying, and you need to be careful. So thanks for tuning in, guys. As always, smash the like, subscribe to the channel if you are new. Two streams every day, 11:30 a.m. or 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, except on the weekends. But make sure you hit that notification bell and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. All right, guys, let's do this. Again, I'm away from my house. And you know what? So I have to pull on my chat from my phone here. So I'm going to do that. You know, yesterday I mentioned how I was walking around. In case you guys don't know, I am in Vegas right now, just walking around. And I got recognized eight separate times. I started yesterday's stream saying 3 at night. Got recognized a lot more. Even a pit boss from Venetian came up to me. Wow, I guess a lot of people watch my streams. but I'm very humbled by it. It's a good feeling, and I hope to meet a lot more of you guys at my Vegas conference/party in October. All right, so let's do this. So looking at Bitcoin, much better than yesterday, especially at night. Yesterday night, it fell down to 35,000 again. My whole point of my last night's stream was you just got to step away. There's too many people that are just fearing themselves out. They're flooding themselves out of the market, and that's unfortunate because there's so much more to the crypto market, so much more to Bitcoin. But unfortunately, you know, people are starting to feel panic. They're finding reasons to panic, like looking at 4chan posts or Wyckoff patterns and all these things that's making themselves convinced that the top is here, when in fact, it's not. And I'm going to show you how the whales are doing this. So it's unfortunate that the last, you know, week or so we had a lot of FUD, a lot of things that have caused a lot of fear. And if you look at the crypto fear and greed index, it is at 12. When only last month we were actually in 65 in greed. We were in greed mode, and things were really good until retail investors, their confidence got shattered. That's why yesterday, last night, I'm like, you know what? You really need to just stop checking prices. I know, because I get constant comments and tweets about what's going on. Sometimes you just need to step away. And if you step away, you wake up and you realize things are a whole lot better. They're not getting worse. They're improving. So that is number one. And also, I stated that not to fall for FUD. What is this guy doing? All right, here we go. He's out. Not to fall for FUD. There's a lot of whales that are trying to gain more control, and you don't want to fall for it. So let me show you what I'm talking about. So today's stream is going to be lighthearted, pretty simple. I just want to show you some data. That's all. That's really it. So here's crypto quant, and this shows you the spot exchange's inflow. So let me move my camera up here. All right, so what is a spot exchange? Spot exchange is the normal exchange that you use mainly for fiat buying. So, for example, Coinbase, Gemini, Voyager, and several others, Kraken, PolioNex, stuff like that. So you look at, this is going back to the beginning of the year, January of 2021 versus now. And you can see that there's been, you know, slight increases before back in January when Bitcoin did fall down to about 30,000. Yes, Bitcoin fell down to 30,000 from as high as 38,000. And you can see there was some panic. You can definitely see the inflows increased, right? But look at what has happened since February till now. February, Bitcoin peaked about 57,000. Then we had a peak at 61,000, then 63,000. You could see how the inflows kind of just leveled out, right? This is showing you retail investor confidence. Retail investors just blew off these dips. So what if it falls from 57 down to 45? So what if it falls from 61 to 51? So what if it falls from 63 down to even 49? Even that, you could see that there was not a lot of increase inflows of Bitcoin. That means retail investors like, whatever, right? Things will get better until recently when Bitcoin fell from about 60,000 down to where we are now, about 38,000. You could see a big jump, right? Again, this shows you because the retail investor confidence level got shattered by the whales. They did what they intended to do, and it worked. And a lot of it was media-driven. Obviously, we had the Elon effect, and then we have the China effect, and now the U.S. tax effect. There's just a lot of things going on, and that is why you can clearly see for the last 3-4 months, retail confidence was sky high. That's why altcoins were going up, despite the fact Bitcoin really kind of went sideways until recently. And then look at derivatives, okay? This is what the whales like to do. You look at whales, their inflows into BitMEX, Bybit, you know, these kind of exchanges, Bitfinex, you could see that throughout this, it's been pretty level, a little bit of activity here, right? Obviously, this was done to drive Bitcoin down and liquidate the shorts, right? Pretty obvious. You can see how it's been pretty sideways, right, until this point to drive this down. And look at what has happened recently, right? This is not a coincidence that the derivative exchange inflow has increased dramatically within the last few weeks, right? So this kind of shows you what's going on. Retail investors, you know, they're panicking right now, which is why the inflows went up a little bit. But derivative exchanges, these are the ones that are used by whales. And they purposely up this more and more and more because they know right now is the time to do it because there's so much fear out there. And here is further proof, so I'm going to zoom in even more. This is specifically just the inflow on Bybit. You guys know about Bybit, famous derivatives exchange. And I just want you to look at this real quick. I mean, it's really, really obvious what's going on here. You notice that every time Bitcoin dips at the same approximate time, you see a large, large inflow of Bitcoin. And I mean, it's pretty telling. From 50 to 50, from 55 to 50, you see a large inflow on Bybit. Same thing, when this dip, large inflow, right? Recently, when we went down to 30,000, very massive inflow into Bybit. And no, this is not flowing into Bybit to buy. This is flowing into Bybit to drive things further. Recently, right? We had recovery up to 41,000 and then came back down. Look at all these massive inflows into Bybit. Is this a coincidence? No, none of this is a coincidence. This is data. Data shows you what some of the whales are doing, right? With all the FUD that's going on right now, you know, there's a lot of fear. Retail investors, you know, very fearful. That is why altcoins are doing very bad. You can see that even though Bitcoin is doing better today, Bitcoin dominance went up. It's 45.5%. So right now, Bitcoin is coming up, but altcoins are not really. They're not really coming up because altcoins are, we know, are driven by retail investors. Bitcoin is driven by institutional investors and whales and some retail investors, but altcoins, almost 100% of altcoins is driven by retail investors. And that's why retail investors right now haven't come back into the altcoins, which is why they're not going up right now, which is why BTC dominance is going up. So don't fall for it. And the whole point is, the whole point of me showing this is, you know what, when there's fear, uncertainty, and doubt, right, there will be people that will try to take advantage. This is why I mentioned about control. They want to control things, and they want to accumulate more. The whole point of this is so that you release your Bitcoin and altcoins to them so they can accumulate more while they can, while it's cheap. And they look for every opportunity to do so, and that is why you don't want to fall for it. If you're checking your prices, you're checking your portfolio every single second or every single minute, it's really going to drive you nuts, especially if you're new. If you're an old timer, you've lived through 2017 and all the way to 2020, or even you lived through 2013 all the way to now, you know, you've seen this before. You're not falling for it. You know there's going to be whale games. But for those of you guys that entered during this time when retail investor confidence was sky high, right, now you're getting a taste of something that you haven't experienced before, and it's not good. It's not good to see your altcoins get shattered and go down 30, 40, 50% within a single week, right? I know that, but this is what occurs. This is what whale games are all about, especially when there's a lot of negative tension right now within the space. So don't fall for it. And lastly, I just want to show you guys stock to flow. This is one of the best measurements in terms of Bitcoin is on track within the four-year cycle, and right now you can see it is still on track. In fact, it was moving faster than the last four-year cycle in terms of this last parabolic rise, and we can see that we're about halfway through. We're about halfway through, like right around here. And you can see that during 2017, there was many dips along the way. And you could look at 2013, right? You could see also there was actually a major dip, and then it continued forward. So a lot of people think that our current cycle mimics the 2013 cycle. So you could see that 2013, there was an overshot, and then it came down, and then boom, it went again. And that could be certainly what we're seeing right now. So everything is still on track. Don't fall for the media FUD. Don't fall for the whale-ish games. Stay on course. Focus on the future. Remember, you're investing for the long haul. You're investing for life-changing wealth, not short-term gains, although that is a big benefit. But you got to remember what's going on. Nothing comes easy, even with crypto. And this is part of the experience. So if you haven't lived through it, make sure you stay strong and focused on the future. All right, guys, that's pretty much it. I'll turn to you guys for
your lawn.
Paging Dr. Tyler. Paging Dr. Tyler. Dr. Scott, you're needed in the lecture shop.
He's bumping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the sides fall.
Come on.
But until you see me,
say what?
Trust me. I really be throwing my words at them up. Jamming on the one. Dang, nobody but up to jamming on the drum. Swift, flip, kick, landing from the tongue. More dramatic than Batman and Robin. No one to be handling this vintage sharper than the dumb set. The one to be dropping this up and showing them how to come back. And you gon' respect me and appreciate where I run at. You ain't gon' piss me off too. Carve it at the gun set. I get meaner, badder, strong influence. rest. I'm coming back more fearless, more determined, and focused. Set. I ain't even started yet, so if you ain't ready, you better get ready. You know I do it better when I'm being opposed. I stick your chest, I keep the chin up. It's the time that got to get knocked down to get up. You keep popping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the sides fall. But until you see me, trust me. Mess over me once, shame on you. You come up in here and do it again, then it's shame on me. Sometimes we be getting told what we didn't won't learn. Sometimes we be getting told what we ain't won't see. I accept my wins just like the way that I feel. I grow, I take them inside and put them under my belt. I learn from you just like you learn from me. I bleed, I pray for peace, perfect harmony. Somebody said, fool, you better keep on rapping. Stop that trip, ain't gonna happen. I told them, look, you better mind your business. Change your way of thinking, keep on this. They thought I'm the trouble and you ain't been out since. Cause you stuck inside scared, watch CNN. Just take the precautions so your life will be better. Tell my friends to call me, I ain't accepting no letters. So keep popping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the sides fall. But until you see me, trust me. You keep popping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the sides fall. But until you see me, trust me.
Heard about? Yeah, you had to. I know you changed your mind, you ain't the only one with bad news. I know that it made you feel strange, huh? You was right in the middle of complaining and forgot what you was crying about. It could be your time and it might be. You can't do nothing about it, the God's will, that's just how life be. One day you switch it, then it's gone. And I'm serious, and you ain't never even gonna feel it until it hits home. That's when the pain runs sharp and deep, and you ain't eating us when the days feel slow and long. I know you're missing, so it's time to uplift and try to pick the pieces up and find a way to drive on. I take it to truth, so don't lie to me. Get back, Satan, man, bother me. And that's the way it's gotta be. And when it's over and done, I hope you're proud of me. You keep popping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the sides fall. But until you see me, trust me.
You ain't getting bouncing back.
You keep popping me against the wall. Yeah, I know I let the sides fall. But until you see me, trust me.
You ain't getting bouncing back.
Alhamdulillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Alhamdulillah, that's a little bit of mystical, that's that. Bitcoin, talking back to the haters. Keep bumping me against the wall. Shoot, you ain't even seen what's coming. Alhamdulillah, sometimes you got to get knocked down to get back up, huh? Alhamdulillah, that's what's going on. Well, we're going to be dealing with whale games. We already started it, dealing with whale games, getting it. And one of my main emphasis, if not the main emphasis, is like, don't be scared. Don't be scared, because that's the game. The game is to get whatever you have out of your hands and to keep you who are not in the game out of the game, because that reduces the competition, all right, for this limited asset that is like no other asset in human history. All right. But alhamdulillah, in keeping with an acknowledgement and a nod and an appreciation to my absent brother Malik Ali Sharif, alhamdulillah, we keep him in our dua. And we are going to, therefore, I'm going to run a little story down to you that speaks to how we should be in this market as it relates to cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, of course, being the big boy of them all, but just the general field and the asset class of cryptocurrencies. brother and sister, you got to understand, this is, in our lifetime, for sure, Allah knows best, but I have no reason to believe otherwise, that this is the last thing smoking to create intergenerational wealth, and we're talking about wealth that will last for centuries, inshallah, as long as there's organized civilization, government, and what have you. You know, if the end of the world, as such as it is, comes, then okay, well, that'll be that. But failing that, this is the most massive transfer of wealth opportunity that's ever going to come about, I'm satisfied, in our lifetime. You don't want to miss this. And these are how high the stakes are. And that's why the big boys who are being as tall as they are, they're able to see farther than most of us, quote, down here on the ground, to quote Lou Rawls, that, hey, it's like they see it, and they says they see that there's no way of getting around this 21 million limitation on it. It's like, so we got to get all that we can get so that we can stay ahead of those who we've been ahead of. Well, you don't want to suffer that. So there's a story that I want to share with you. It's regarding the Man Gulch fire. And inshallah, I'm going to just going to read that off to you. August 5th, 1949, on the hottest day on record in Montana, in the Man Gulch Valley, a stray lightning bolt set the ground on fire. Mr. Wag Dodge and his group of 13 firefighters, called smoke jumpers, were dispatched by air from Missoula, Montana, to put out the fire. They were told it was a small fire, but by the time they got to it, the fire was out of control. The terrain is where the Rocky Mountains meets the Great Plains. Pine trees give way to prairie grass, and the steep cliffs and drop onto the steppes of the Midwest. The surrounding hills have had all have been burned. The landscape was littered with the skeletons of pine trees. Dodge moved his men over to the grassy side of the gulch and told them to head downhill toward the placid Missouri River. Dodge didn't trust this blaze. He wanted to be near water. Dodge looked at the dry grass and dry pine needles. He felt the hot wind and the hot sun. The conditions were making him nervous. To make matters worse, the men had no map of the terrain. They were also without a radio. Says the parachute on the radio pack had failed to open, or rather since the parachute, the radio on the parachute pack had failed to open, and the transmitter had been smashed on the rocks. The small crew of smoke jumpers were all alone with this fire. There was nothing between them and it but a river and a thick tangle of ponderosa pine and Douglas fir trees. And so the jumpers set down their packs and watched the blaze from across the canyon. When the wind parted the smoke, as it did occasionally, they could see inside the fire as the flames leaped from tree to tree. It was now 5 o'clock, a dangerous time to fight wilderness fires because the twilight wind can shift without warning. The breeze had been blowing the flames up the canyon, away from the river, but then suddenly the wind reversed. Dodge saw the ash swirling in the air. He saw the top of the flames flickering and wave. And then he saw the fire leap across the gulch and sparked the grass on his side. That's when the updraft of wind began. Fierce winds began to howl through the canyon, blowing straight toward the men. Dodge could only watch as the fire became an inferno. He was suddenly staring at a wall of flames 200 feet tall and 300 feet deep on the edge of the prairie. In a matter of seconds, the flames began to devour the grass on the slope. The fire ran toward the smoke jumpers at 30 miles per hour, incinerating everything in its path. At the fire's center, the temperature was more than 2,000 degrees, hot enough to melt rock. Dodge screamed at his men to retreat. It was already too late to run to the river, since the fire was blocking their path. Each man dropped his 50 pounds of gear and started running up the brutal, steep canyon wall, trying to get to the top of the ridge and escape the blow-up. Because heat rises and fire that starts burning on a flat prairie accelerates when it hits a slope on a 50% grade, a fire will move 9 times faster than it does on level ground. The slopes at Man Gulch, by comparison, was 76%, not 50%, 76%. When the fire first crossed the gulch, Dodge and his crew had a 200-yard head start. After a few minutes of running, Dodge could feel the fierce heat on his back. He glanced over his shoulder and saw that the fire was now fewer than 50 yards away and gaining. The air began to lose its oxygen. The fire was sucking the wind dry. That's when Dodge realized the blaze could not be outrun. The hill was too steep and the flames were too fast. So Dodge stopped running. He stood perfectly still as the fire accelerated toward him. Then he started yelling at his men to do the same. He knew they were racing towards their incineration, their immolation, in that in fewer than 30 seconds, the fire would run them over like a freight train without brakes. But nobody stopped. Perhaps the men couldn't hear Dodge over the deafening roar of the flames, or perhaps they couldn't bear the idea of stopping. When confronted with a menacing fire, the most basic instinct is to run away. But Dodge was telling the men to stand still because he realized that their fear was going to get them killed. But Dodge wasn't committing suicide. In a fit of desperate creativity, he came up with an escape plan. He quickly lit a match and ignited the ground around him and in front of him because the fire can't burn what has already been burned. And he watched as those flames raced away from him up the canyon walls. Then Dodge stepped into the ashes of this smaller fire that he had set, so that he was surrounded by a thin buffer of burned land. He laid down on the still smoldering embers. He wet his handkerchief with some water from his canteen and clutched the cloth over his mouth. He closed his eyes tight and tried to inhale the thin ether of oxygen remaining near the ground. Then he waited for the fire to pass over him. After several terrifying minutes, Dodge emerged from the ashes virtually unscathed. The 13 smoke jumpers, however, were killed by the Man Gulch fire. Only two men in the crew, besides Dodge, managed to survive. And that was because they found a shallow crevice in the rocky hillside. As Dodge had predicted, the flames were almost impossible to outrun. White crosses still mark the spots where the men died. All of the crosses are below the ridge. So, brother and sister, this is a story of about how we have to act counterintuitively in this apparent crypto crash. And going forward, we're going to be speaking more about that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So check your notes. Those of you, go ahead and pull your notes up, and we're going to go over some of the material there so we can understand better about these whale games, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. So let me go ahead and take a minute. So we have, our timing is different right now, so we have a little space. Any comments, questions, need for clarification? Something has been bothering you about this crypto thing and you want to get an answer. I can't guarantee that I have the answer, and I can't even guarantee that I have an answer, but I will let you know what I do or don't know, inshallah. So let's hear from you. There's a lot going on here, and those of you who have the notes, I was going to send some of the graphics with it, but they were too large, and so to try to send them through the email, it's unable to get it. Check again. I'm pretty sure, let me check my list, see if there's anybody missing here. But otherwise, come on, give me some conversation. Have some say something, like something. Let's see what we got. Yeah, I sent it out to the list. Check your Gmail. Check your gmail.com email. If that's not the right one, then you need to send me the right one so that we can get that. All right, but otherwise, yes, I did send those notes to you. All right. Georgetta, my Monterey Baya, what's going on?
Assalamu alaikum, man. Alhamdulillah. Priest and prayers for brother Malik. Make him dua for him as well. Amen. If he's on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Malik. So it seems like more and more they're trying to like criminalize crypto or Bitcoin. Like, you know, it's something that's being used that criminals are going to be trying to use to make criminal transactions. I've been noticing that criminal transactions or undercover trying to make it seem like a negative, more sure. Like I said, trying to criminalize it, you know. And yeah. I've been noticing that. And it also, I just still can't kind of get in the back of my head how the question is, on top of that, the second thing is how we're going to be able to actually stay in the game, you know, get in the game and stay in the game with the whales, you know, with these like really huge people who know what's going on, who are, you know, their life, that's their life, the finance world, and they know how this game works in terms of getting people to be fearful of fear, you know. So much everything driven on fear, vaccines, everything,
yes.
Just so they can sit back and benefit from it, one way or the other. How are we as small, you know, a few,
yeah.
you know, $1,000 going to be able to, I guess, compete and stay in it with all, once the really big finance people really embrace it and get into it. So,
that's what we'll be speaking about. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. So let me move on. I think this is my brother Dante, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam, brother Imam. Believers, prayers
yes,
for
sir.
Brother Malik, inshallah, speedy recovery.
Yes.
One of the things you said, you know, you talked about, Assistant Georgetta talked about fear, and, you know, there's an
yes.
acronym, FEAR. It says false evidence appearing real. And, you know,
yeah.
I think that if we understand that's the game that is being played, and that, you know,
yeah.
you know, they're talking long, big money, whereas we're talking, you know, what we can afford, right? And what we can afford is, as you have said, is going to allow us to have that intergenerational wealth, because it's wealth
right.
that we're not used to having before.
Right.
But my question is, what is the conversation to us as believers so that we can get past that fear, knowing that this is, as Michael Saylor said, Bitcoin is hope, and giving us the qualification in the Quran from that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, and mashallah, I'm going to take yours and Georgetta's comments as a leading proportion of what we're presenting. So we're on the same track. So coming right at you with a reply.
Okay, we will sit
right.
back and wait. All right.
Alhamdulillah, shukran. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, so let's go for it. Let's go for it. Bismillah. In terms of, we got one with the charts and one without the charts. Okay. Looking at the notes, I quote Gandhi's statement at the beginning of it. It says, first they ignore you, then they insult you, then they fight you, then you win, okay? I still, I have yet to really go full bore in, you know, informing everyone. You know, this Facebook is a crazy thing. I'm going to try to get back. I hate for my Facebook folks to miss it. Let me see. And if it don't start after that, I'm out. All right. So that's the Gandhi piece. The Gandhi piece is saying first they ignore you, then they insult you, then they fight you, and then you win. So you have the whole South Africa apartheid. That thesis can be found in that. And his revolution was against the British colonialists in that sense. So it's always that when that new interloper that's undermining the system that benefits some and oppresses others, when it comes in, well, that's when the battle is joined. Three shows that first they ignore you, then they insult you, then they fight you, then you win. And that has been the history, and that has been the trajectory of Bitcoin, particularly in cryptocurrency, and all the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, and all the pushback and anger and attacks on Bitcoin, all the various lies that have been told on it since its inception and introduction into the market. They're simply working on this pattern right now. You know, first it was ignored, you know, it's nothing, da, da, da. You know, then it's insulted, it's only for child pornographers and drug dealers and da, 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 da. And then they fight you, you know, those people who are pushing back on it. You have those formal elements. You had the Jamie Dimons of the world and others like that. that were fighting against it. But, of course, then they have joined it now. But they're still – what we're talking about right now is the dark side of this whole thing because, you know, institutional, traditional, what do you call them, the fractional reserve banking system, the IRS people, the Fed people, it's like they're not going to go away quietly or either literally go away at all. But then they are also, they're not going to kill the goose that laid the golden egg. I mean, just one simple, quick, fast way of getting your head around the fact that, hey, look, winners, quote unquote, win. I'm not even talking about the moral side of it in particular right now. The point is that those who want to win, they want to win, and so they do what they have to do to win. Go to World War II, the Japanese and the Germans, you know, doing on what it is they were. Just go look at Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip it was a situation where they took the cream of the crop of Hitler's operation, the cream of the crop of Hitler's Third Reich operation, and smuggled them, brought them in, the atomic bomb itself that was dropped on Nagasaki and can't think of it, Hiroshima, were the finished products completed by German scientists. Them by German scientists that came into our side of the issue through this Operation Paperclip. So that is to say, we're not throwing away. This is use value. What's the use value? The propaganda machine, the way that they went about doing what they were doing, et cetera, et cetera. We're just going to repurpose it, rebrand it, and put it to work for us. Okay. Well, when you see that kind of thing happening, in the same way with people in power. If people in power see something that has power, you know, they are pretty amoral in general as it relates to most people. You know, of course, we have good people, righteous people, sincere, God-loving people in that. However, I haven't done a scaling to say which is most, which are the majority. The point is that in terms of those in power right now, they are not driven by moral, religious interest, not the system that we're in, because if you were driven by that, then you wouldn't make debt slaves out of college students, let's just put it like that, before they even get started in the world. So let's get away from that. So I don't think I have to explain myself that there are those in economic power positions who want to stay in those economic power positions by any means necessary. Get that straight. All right. So that being the case, then, okay, here comes cryptocurrency into the scheme of things. At the same time of the, you know, literally, it was at its birthday, if you will. Its birthday was the last economic collapse, 2008, 2009. That was when it came out. It's like, this is the perfect time to come with what answers, which if this had been in place before the system that brought about that kind of collapse, had this been in place, then that collapse would not have happened. But because that collapse happened and because this quote-unquote white paper from Satoshi Nakamoto is the answer to all of the ills that the current legacy, classical, fractional reserve system, central bank-driven system, is like, okay, here's the answer. Look at what that system did. Boom, it crashed, it collapsed. Why? For many, many reasons. But here's the answer for all the reasons that collapse, following the financial system and introducing and operating upon a financial system like the one illustrated in this white paper, then that kind of thing can't happen, all right? So that, you know, that, I'm telling you, Bitcoin coming, Satoshi Nakamoto and his coming, analogously is like Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen, Bitcoin is not Prophet Muhammad. Just stay with the analogy, okay? It's just as threatening to the 360 gods that they had in among the Meccans and stacked up in the Kaaba Muhammad coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that was a threat to the total system. Even the pilgrimage that were being made throughout that time and had been done for centuries, coming to Mecca was such a threat because you're messing with the economic system here. You're messing with our whole operation. Okay, in the same way, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain, particularly that technology, right? It's like automobiles did to the horse industry is what Bitcoin is doing to the financial industry is what automobiles did to the horse and carriage industry, right? It's like it's pretty much over. It's going to become exotic. It's somewhere where, like, you know, you go to New Orleans and take a ride around, or Central Park, take a ride around that. But beyond that, it's like the whole wild horse thing is pretty much done. Okay, well, what the automobile did to the horse industry is what Bitcoin did to the financial industry, the global financial industry, right? So is it a threat? Was it a threat? Yes, it was a threat. But let's go back to Gandhi's statement. First they ignore you, then they insult you, then they fight you, then you win, okay? So this fear and uncertainty and doubt that's coming in this latter part of the time, when and after Bitcoin hit its most recent all-time high, and with the introduction of, I mean, you can use this one word as a big issue for that same financial industry. Bitcoin was one thing, but DeFi is another thing. DeFi is another graduation. It's another element threatening the legacy financial system that had all these ways by which they could tunnel under and behind and between and hide like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain and run their game and do their middleman thing, their fractional reserve system and their debt slave creation system, that's what it is. So it's a total threat to that. So consequently now, however, Bitcoin has gotten beyond, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency for that matter, has gotten beyond the phase where, okay, well, it's here. It's here. It's like the cat is out of the bag. The quote-unquote genie is out of the lamp. The beans have been spilled. The paste have been squeezed. And, like, you can't unscramble that egg. You can't unring that bell. It is here, right? And when you have all of these, and the most recent big name that I've heard today, but it's like in the last 48 hours, Ray Dalio. Ray Dalio is now confessed to his ownership of Bitcoin, okay? So you got the Mark Cubans and the Kevin O'Leary's and who else? The Jamie Dimons and other people. And yes, Elon Musk and Mark Cuban and all those people. Those are the quote unquote big names who before were poo pooing it, right? First they ignore you, then they insult you, then they fight you, and then you win, right? So the whole issue of the adoption of Bitcoin and the incapacity, when it hit that trillion, that was one of the key things that, according to Willie Wu, one of the big names, when it hit that trillion-dollar mark, it became an asset to really, for those classical legacy financial systems to really pay attention to. Say, I can't mess with it. It's too small. We deal with trillions, annually, and in some of these places, they deal with trillions daily. I mean, that's how big the financial world system actually is. So when you're talking about even hundreds of billions a day as an asset, some are so big it ain't even worth messing with. It's like you're not big enough for me to even pay attention to. I don't get out of the bed for less than $1 billion a day. It's like that's not gonna happen. So but now when big trillion dollar mark and the entire system of cryptocurrency, including the so called altcoins, I still gotta find the other name, because those who are further along in the path they deem altcoin to be like an insulting language. Insulting, but I can't quite remember what that language is. Not altcoins. I don't know. Alternative assets, I don't know what it is, so I'm stuck guessing. But the point is that now the entire crypto ecosystem, including Bitcoin, is like $2 trillion. $2 trillion. Okay. So now some of you heard when we had Scaramucci, you know, on during his interview with Michael Saylor, he was saying, you know, it's like I knew about it at, you know, $400 or something like that, $4,000. But I didn't get interested in it until it hit $40,000 or something of that order. He said, I wasn't interested in it until it hit $40,000. When it hit $40,000, now we can have a conversation, because that's the level of assets that they actually deal with. When these people have billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars, and even hundreds of billions of dollars under management, it's like, man, I can't talk about something that ain't worth but about $40,000. You know, it's gotta get bigger. Okay, so now Bitcoin haven't done that. Now you have a lot of those big boys building up to the bar, and those who knew about what was coming and who really had peeped it before, like the Grayscales of the world, whoever that is. I mean, you can go back and look at, okay, when did Grayscale really get? They got started when they were. You know, don't put no alarm clocks in the graveyard. Don't wake nobody up on it. This thing right here is going to be like nothing else, and we want to max it out, and we don't want to push the price up to do it. Okay, so now that the fox has got aware of where the chickens are, now they have come. Some have come legitimately, openly, honestly, like the Michael Saylors of the world. And others have been on the DL, you know, and all that entails. They have been getting it and trying to take advantage of it and trying to keep everyone unaware of it. All right, so now there's a guy I listen to periodically, Crypto Zombie, right? One of the things he says is that I got a look. Little note that might be a honeydew here. Okay, I'll get to that. So now, game changer, right? Game changer is the level of the size of the market, the liquidity in the market. That's a critical thing. Also, these are terms that you need to be familiar with. When it comes to liquidity, if there's enough liquidity, then people who want to speculate, that's a part of what makes the volatility of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin in particular right now, and the larger coins like Ethereum and the like, it makes them appetizing for people who are just speculators. There are people, like, you can call it day traders, right? You can have people who say, well, yeah, this is all I'm doing. I'm just playing the market. I'm just, they go in and they read the charts, and the way that they read the charts, and they add it up and say, okay, well, in this amount of time it's going to move this far, I quote unquote surmise, right? I guess by my analysis, I think it's going to go this way. And so therefore they invest, quote unquote, speculate on that movement, and sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But the point is that volatility is useful to people who, quote unquote, play the game that way. Yeah, I want something, those who are speculators, I want something that has these wide swings, and they swing wide regularly, but they're able to swing because there's a lot of liquidity in the market, because there are a lot of people who are, quote unquote, playing this particular game, or they are focused on this particular asset as a way to generate wealth, or to make profit, returns on investment in the way that they do it. And so that means, you know, the liquidity, you know, when it reached the $1 trillion, when it reached that $1 trillion, that's a lot of liquidity in the market. That's the Bitcoin alone. There's a lot of liquidity in the market, which means that you can get in there. And when you have these other aspects that have come along with Bitcoin, you know, we don't have an ETF in America right now. If we do, I missed it, but I don't think so. In Canada, they have some. But the point is that you can get into the Bitcoin game and, quote-unquote, deal with that in so many other ways. So the point is that there's a big ocean of liquidity, a big ocean of money floating in and out. And so billions of dollars per day are transacted in Bitcoin, and you can buy and sell in the Bitcoin market, and you can make money. It's like, you know, no, I'm not in it for the long term, whoever that is. I'm not in it for the long term. I want to make money this week. This is how much money I want to make on Bitcoin this week. This is how much money I want to make on Bitcoin this month. This is how much money I want to make on Bitcoin this quarter, this year, et cetera. And there's enough liquidity for people who have that level of interest. Maybe they may be just people that, you know, $100 million people. You know, it's like, you know, obviously high net worth, but, you know, in the scheme of, you know, billion-dollar hedge funds, and like you're still a small player, but you're still big enough to go in there and get some of that liquidity of Bitcoin. You ain't committed to the Bitcoin. All you want to do is just make some profit by getting in, getting out, scalping some things. And that's who's playing that game. That part of the game, and that's also a part of what locks Bitcoin in, that is here to stay, right? I believe, I was listening to one of the Michael Saylor interviews most recently, Elon Musk threw some shade at him, and so he said, Michael Giga Chad Saylor, or whatever, but there wasn't a lot of that in response to it. But the point is that he pointed out, Michael Saylor pointed out, is, listen, you draw back, look at the big picture, look at how the growth of Bitcoin, those who want to say, you know, the bull run is over and this is that, da, da, da. It's like, okay, we'll draw back, look at the picture, look at how it's done, and you will note that it has 10x over NASDAQ, 10x over the New York Stock Exchange. It's like the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, are nowhere near competing with vis-a-vis the growth of Bitcoin as opposed to those two platforms that we just mentioned. So people are like, oh, it's lost 40%, it's lost 50% of its value just this month. Okay, fine. How big is it compared to where it started? And how big is it in terms of how it has advanced as compared to these other two exchanges? So it's like, yeah. So it's FUD. It's non-story. The main audience for that kind of conversation is you and I, the little guy, the retail buyer who's trying to, you know, get into the game with whatever little, you know, nickels and dimes that we have. And relatively speaking, that's where they are effectively. But alhamdulillah. But the point is that don't allow yourself to see yourself or identify yourself in the way that I just disparagingly described. That's the way they see us. You have to see yourself as like, hey, look, I'm as qualified and capable of being involved in this, because this is a one size fit all kind of situation. Meaning anybody can play. Step up. If you want to play, you want to be a part of it, I use that language, play, invest, then you can do it. So, okay. So the point is that The realization, meaning that it is clear to those of the high net worth, low net worth, so many people, but especially of the high net worth. I talked about the giants. You know, they were as tall as they are, then they can see over the trees. They can see over the mountains. They can see what's coming in the future. They can turn around and look and see what has happened in the past. They can see what's behind them. So their vision about what's going on relative to those who are down on the ground, who can't see but what's immediately in front of them, is like the big boys say, okay, well, wow, something is coming. Okay, well, that was behind, that's over. All right, well, something's coming now. Oh, okay, I see what it is, okay? And because of that, game has changed for them. They are in the game now. The big boys are in, they're in the game. And the other ones are trying to play catch-up. We already went through or at least mentioned enough on this platform for you to understand. Listen, the grayscales and the Michael Saylors of the world, they're like early adopters in those large institutions. Like, they're early to the game. All right, and they have demonstrated, and Elon Musk, he got his own plan, but he came on into, but that was a part of his strategy. That's how he's playing the game. So he's still there. He still tell you, we have not sold any of our Bitcoin. Okay, so you should take a lesson from that. Okay, what y'all think, I'm a fool? I ain't trying to sell this Bitcoin, but I am trying to get the price pushed down, and I am trying to create a niche for myself in order for me to leverage who I am and my brand in order to make that Bitcoin grow in such a way or get involved with Bitcoin mining that's in a more sustainable way such that I can become a miner in this new game that I'm trying to push over to y'all. See, I can send rockets up and bring them down. So you think I can't make no mining equipment for computers? That's my thing, right? But I have to figure out a way I can get into the game by, you know, boxing out somebody else. So let's move away from that. I'm just saying, everybody, the big boys, they come in with big plans. And they are long-term plans. They are long-range plans. They are long cons in some cases. Aloha Island. So, all right. So that's the nature. The nature of the time is that the big boys want the biggest possible share of this limited $21 million pie. Get that? And just set that first as the frame and the context to understand. The pie is only 21 million coins large. That's it. When those 21 million coins come out of the process, and I misstated, alhamdulillah, Dante helped me out, reminded me, I was saying, yeah, in 2040 it is going to, no, it's going to take to 2140 by the math, 2140 before the last Bitcoin is going to be mined. That's mathematically, that's 10 minutes. Every 10 minutes, the way that it's set up, every 10 minutes a block gets mined. I'm not going into that. You can go to YouTube and a whole lot of places to get that information. So the point is that, yeah, so you got a long time before that comes. And if you have a whole lot of value that's going to be coming into the existing Bitcoins, because the Bitcoins, they're still going to exist. There won't be any deterioration or any rust or whatever. It's not going to die. You know, the Bitcoin, yeah, I had a Bitcoin, but I had it so long, I had it for 100 years. Look at it now. No, it's not going anywhere. It is. It is literally abstract math, you know, existing in cyberspace, yet real. You got to get over it. You got to get over it. I can't learn to get over it. Get you some and then find out later about how you don't know how the internet works. You still on that. How that works. Let's move on. All right. So the point is that the big boys, they know, okay, limited supply. They know we can't break it. In fact, one of the things that has happened this week, going into it, put this file list under every knock is a boost. Oh, it collapsed from 65,000 down to 30,000. One more broke under 30,000. Oh, the bull run is over, whatever they say. The point is that you might remember before we really got heavier on this crypto, we were talking about the reset. We were talking about the financial reset, which is still going on. But we just didn't know exactly how it was going to come about. We were thinking that the reset was all going to be tied into just these legacy systems, you know, gold, silver, precious metals, fractional banking. There's going to be some kind of new money from, you know, SDRs and all that. We went through that. Alhamdulillah, now we understand. Oh, this is how it's going to be reset with a new kind of valuation, something that functions as an asset that can replace gold as store of value. That will be the reset. But the point is that these 21 million Bitcoins, even as they are getting mined and as the demand for them demonstrated by the function that it serves, as the demand goes up and as the supply, quote unquote, remains constant because you're only going to be bringing a certain X number of Bitcoin online, online anyway. So the point is that the value, I'm trying to get to the point of, okay, 2140 arrives when the last Bitcoin is mined. Obviously there's at least a century between now and then. Question, what happens to the value of each Bitcoin. What is happening to 21 million? Right now, about 18.5 million have been mined, all right? And we're looking at 18.1.5 million. And in this moment, which is a part of the manipulation product, in this moment, it's around, well, actually it's $39,629. I'm looking at my little app. So that's 39,000 right now. And that's after falling down from 65,000 per coin, right? So you do the math, you know, the 39,000 times 18.5 million. And so therefore, that's the net value of, quote unquote, the number of Bitcoins that have already been mined. All right. So there's not going to be more Bitcoin is going to be mined. But in terms of this low right now, the value of the Bitcoin is just going to keep going up and up and up and up and up and up. So 100 years from now, one Bitcoin could be worth $10 million. I'm throwing that number out there because we're already talking about $1 million in the next year by some estimates. So the point is that by the time you get 100 years from now, it's like, I know I'm being very conservative if I say 10 million because it will be the only ever Bitcoin that will ever come into this space. It's like, that's it. It's fixed. It's locked down. So, therefore, the rarity is what gives it its value. You won't be able to counterfeit anymore. You can't counterfeit it now. The point is that you won't be able to make artificial, but there will be other things, derivatives from it. Now, all right, so therefore the big boys are coming in to compete for the limited supply that's available above ground, I'll call it now, since it's mining, that's available above ground now. They were, okay, I'm at the party now. Crypto Zombie said when the poor people missed the boat, they just missed the boat. The boat has left the dock, so you just missed the boat. But when rich people miss the boat, they bring the boat back. Okay, well, that's what's happening with this FUD. The principle is the same. It's like, okay, we missed the boat was down at 10,000 or at 20,000 or at 30,000. Okay, we missed the boat. We're here now, and we're very interested in this now. So they'll buy in with a Grayscale or buy in with a Michael Saylor or somebody else at that 30,000. You know, and then so they can ride up with it. Okay, so they rode up with it with the 65,000. Okay, now the big boys say, well, you know, hey, that Bitcoin mining is kind of moving a little too slow for me. I'm dramatizing it. So think about someone that sees the handwriting on the wall in the future of Bitcoin and the future of the existing legacy financial system and their place within it. They say, well, no. We got to get more of this Bitcoin now. They don't mind. Ain't no way to make mining go faster. It doesn't matter. It don't matter how many mines are set up anywhere in the world. It's not going to go any faster. It's fixed. That's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to take. That's the current rate. Okay. So how can we get more of this Bitcoin? Okay. So that means we got to get more of the Bitcoin that's above ground. We got to get more of the Bitcoin that's already out. Okay, so let's just see. Where can we get it from, right? So you turn to one of the big boys. He said, well, you can't have none of mine. You turn to another, you can't have none of mine. I'm holding on to what I got. I said, oh, okay, well, where am I going to get it from? Okay, you see all them fools, they just got there. They don't know what they got. They don't know the value of it. They really don't believe in it. You know, it's like, okay, let's see, how many of them got? How many? They got some. Okay, let me see. Okay, what we got to do, we got to convince them that what they have, that ain't nothing. You know, it's like the whole Tom Sawyer move, right? Tom Sawyer, where he convinced the guy to paint the fence for him. I don't know the whole story. But just, you know, go look at it. Get the cliff notes. Where, you know, he had to paint the fence, but he didn't want to paint the fence. So he found one of his dumb friends and convinced them, oh, this is the best thing in the world. No, you can't do it. No. It's only me. That's what I can do. So he convinced the guys that it's fun. And so therefore, all right, well, I'll let you do it. Okay. Well, in that kind of reverse psychology, that's what Michael Celente, I think his name is Celente. I can't think of his first name right now, Italian guy. Celente, he called them prostitutes. The prostitutes, how the press serving the commercial interest, they will pump that FUD. Remember, first, they were among those who ignored you and insulted you and then started fighting you with all this kind of bad press, right? Who do they work for? They work for some of these giants who missed the boat, but now they want to bring the boat back. So, okay, how are we going to bring the boat back? Well, let's suppress the price. Let's bring the price back into a range that we can put a few billion dollars on. Then when we let it go, then we can just ride it back to the top. But I'd rather not pay $65,000 for it. I recognize it's going to go further than that, but it doesn't make good sense for me to spend $65,000 for it. Let's see if we can get that price down. So how are you going to get the price down? FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. How are we going to get it? Let's use our financial press. Let's use our commercial media to give voice to the Warren Buffetts of the world and to the Jamie Dimons of the world when they were on the footing side of it, and tell them poo-poo. Let's threaten them with government sanctions. Let's threaten them with invasions of their privacy and punishment under law. We do that. I don't want none of that. Here, take it. I'm gonna sell my shoes, man. Them people gonna be caught with all that. All them Bitcoin, man, they're going to lose all that money, man. They might go to jail. And on the other side of the sale is he's taking it. And he was the one that put the FUD out there. That's the game that has to be run now in order to get more out of the hands of those retail buyers, the non-institutional buyers who really don't know the value of what it is they have. They really don't know the future of what they have. They really don't understand what kind of opportunities actually is. And they're not trying to educate those people about it. They're trying to get it out of their hands by frightening them into selling if they happen to have it, and frightening them from, don't you touch that. It's toxic. You're going to lose all your money, blah, blah, blah. Let me say this while I'm there. It's like, listen. One of the ways to know that you're over-invested, mashallah, that's you. This is not financial advice. You have to make a choice on it. But if you feel yourself, you put too much money in it for your risk tolerance. You put too much in it for your risk tolerance. And that's why you feel. So that's a register in your being that's saying you are beyond your level of risk tolerance. Now, I don't know, I can't say if I were you, because I'm not. All I can say is this. It's like, figure out a way to tie your hands. It's like, sit on your hands. It's like, sit on your hands. Like, just don't do nothing. Just don't do nothing. If that's your choice. Like, but if you're going to become a nervous wreck, then you need to sell it and calm yourself down and all that. But beyond that, the goal is your fear. Those who would create and exploit your fear, when you sell it, that's all they wanted you to do. That's all they wanted you to do. Because when you sell it, you have no way of advancing or benefiting or being in the long term game. Let me speak to what Georgetta was saying about how we compete with them. And it's really not a competition. It's really about being in the game. Even we do this. Just use a nature example, right? There are creatures. Just go with the analogy. Don't take it personal. I ain't no creature. Just go with this, okay? In nature, these are ayahs in creation, right? Do you know that there are fish who they hang around the sharks and they eat from the teeth of the shark? That is, that fish goes in there and eats from the teeth of the fish. And they're not even worried about getting eaten by the shark. Because the shark recognizes, by the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the child recognizes, well, they have a function. They provide a service. I'm not going to eat that. And that little fish goes around and it gets everything it gets from the shark's teeth. Also with whales, the same thing. You have animals that they just follow the whales. They just follow the whales. And those who also follow the sharks, it's like, hey, you're going to get fed because, you know, this one's going to eat. This one's going to eat, but we know they're not going to eat everything that they kill or quote-unquote consume or begin the consumption of. There's going to be a carcass. There's going to be something left behind, right? Now, absolutely, I mean, the full analogy of that is obviously it's not exactly what you or I want to be. The point is that when you understand the game that the whales and the sharks are playing, then you can already know, plan with that awareness how you're going to benefit from the way that they behave. So we know that the whales are pushing a certain perspective, point of view, FUD, et cetera. Then, okay, so you have the FUD, then depending on how big the whale is, and this is information where you have people online. I mentioned to you, George, Altcoin Daily, so many others. I think that some of the other players, this is me talking, right? Some of the other Bitcoin people that promote leverage, they're quote unquote suffering quite a bit right now, and the ups and downs of the value that you haven't sold, those are just changes in notional value. The amount of Bitcoin that whoever has it remains the same, but the point is that the notional value, I mean, you have some who have quote unquote lost in notional value, meaning the numbers, their numbers gone down on the books, if you will, even though their amount of Bitcoin remains the same, but the notional value goes down. And depending on also how much Bitcoin was involved in their leverage, yeah, they could lose some of that. That is called getting wrecked. They could lose some value because you have to put up some value in order to leverage it. Okay, so the point is that I'm mentioning about others. Well, I mean, I'm mentioning that. It's not personal. These are some that you listen to, but and therefore, I sense that, oh, okay. See, like George would tell you, he's the CryptoZRS guy. He said, don't use leverage. And these that I'm thinking of right now, they invite you to leverage, but then they tell you that, you know, it's a very risky way of doing business. Leverage. So you have other platforms like Bitfinex, Fimex, Bybit. Those are exchanges that allow you to put up so much Bitcoin and therefore borrow Bitcoin in doing that. But you can quote unquote get wrecked because if the trade doesn't go in the direction that you want it to go, then you can lose 5-10 times as much as you have put up on investment. So that relates all the way to the whole big short thing. I'm not going to try to explain the whole thing, but I'm saying, okay, how do we take it back? We're not really competing with the big boys. Don't even think about it that way. We're not competing with them. We're trying to get our share. And they're trying to get their share. They're going to get their share from the people who give up their share, meaning that in the game, in the whale game that they play, is like the way what we do. We buy from those who are not strong enough to hold on to it, and therefore we get it from them, right? We also get it from those people who are over leveraged. Trying not for it to be complicated. The point is that those people who do the Bybit, the Bitfinex, the Fimex, who do crypto, speculate in crypto with leverage. See, the point is that the transparency of the transparency of the whole industry is called on-chain analysis. So as you mentioned, you can see what so many wallets, maybe not the name of the person, but there are certain wallets that certain wallets, you have a wallet address, you know, just like everybody's address is somewhere in the whole system. Well, same way, you have wallet addresses, and certain addresses have certain amount of Bitcoin. That's known to everybody. It's a global account, open book. Cryptocurrency is an open book, global account. Anybody can look at any address. You don't know who it is, but you can find all these details about how many Bitcoins are in this wallet, how many there are. You can't get into it, but you can know how much is being held by it. It's called on-chain analysis. All right. And so when you go onto these exchanges, then you can see how many people, i.e. how many accounts, are expecting, because where you put your money where your mouth is, right? So when you open an account and place a trade, that trade is open to the public. You can see the trade. How big of a trade? Someone wants to trade 150 Bitcoins or 20 Bitcoins or 1 Bitcoin or 0.75 Bitcoin, whatever. Anybody, you know, who knows how to get to the platform, which is an open platform, and say, oh, okay, look how many people are doing this, look how many people are doing that. Now, that person can say, you know what, I want to disappoint them. Let me just put it this way. I want to disappoint them and force them to sell their Bitcoin, right? So here's somebody, I can see that they're leveraged, they're high leveraged, and they leverage this much. And so now they're leveraged against this, and so therefore I'm going to put in a bid on the opposite side of it that's 10 times, just as an example, that's 10 times larger. We call it a bet. It's just investing, meaning that because when you look at the levels, if they're long, they're saying that, well, I think it's going to go up. So when there are a million people, let's just put it like this, when a million people have put in these publicly recognized, we call it the buy wall, the sell wall, you can see it. You see the million people have said it's going to go this way. So that means that's where they're expecting to go, and they have put their money where their mouth is, right? And you're saying that I want some of that, right? Now, if you're big enough, right, and the statement is general math, most recently, is that it only takes about $98 million to move the market 1%. I hope you're still with me. It takes $98 million to move the market 1%. Okay, so here I am, a whale, and I see these people with all of this Bitcoin, and they are projecting that, and they believe that it's going to go up to point X, Y, or Z, and it's at that point that they said that that's when they were going to sell. So therefore, I see that they have these long speculations, right? Well, I want to get some of that they put up long. So how am I going to get it? Since I'm a whale and I have a whole lot of it, I have much more than $98 million worth of Bitcoin. Let's say I put five hundred million. Just put 500 million. I know my numbers are big, but the point is that you have those who have billions of dollars in Bitcoin. But the point is, I put tens of millions on the other side of it, and then everybody who sees that, they say, "Oh, tens of millions. What's going on?" They begin to think that something must be happening. It must be going down, et cetera. And so what that puts a threat on those people who have longs is, so they could, if they buy into it, sell. Then now they have to sell. First they were long, now they're going to have to go short so that they won't lose on the basis of somebody that's on the other side of it. But what happens? The person who has created that, they don't even have to sell. They just created an atmosphere. They've created fear, uncertainty, and doubt. It's like if somebody put that much money on that side of the speculation, they must know something that we don't know. Most of the market does not know, and so the market just judges on the base of what that particular placement is, and therefore those people who were long, now they get what they get liquidated. They get liquidated, and I got to get out of it. But people say, oh, wow, I got to sell. And so what does that do to the price that you thought was going to go long? The price starts going down, and you put all that on being long, so now you say, oh, man, it's going down. So you trigger your sell, and so now you got it. You got to get out so you won't lose. But the point is that the one who's going to pick it up, the one who, since you were so long, he's there to get it from you because you can't go long anymore because he created the fear in the market to force more people to sell, which brings the price back down. And so now they are there. They got more than what they put there to create the scare. So now they can take the assets that they have on hand to buy what you're selling. And it's those who are speculating more with leverage, they are creating by that leverage speculation more access to the whales in order to get that from them, because they are actually, when you do leverage, you are borrowing in order to I don't like the language, but we understand it, to place your investment. So as they place your bet, but I don't, it's not the best language, of course. So the point is that since everybody can see what's going on in the market, everybody, the whales, the minnows, everybody can see it, but it's just, but if, are you big enough to manipulate the market? Are you big enough to influence the market? And the point is that there are enough whales who are now in the market. There are enough whales who are now in the market who can, because the market is not regulated in the explicit way that New York Stock Exchange and others is regulated. And it's for that reason that there is, like what Elon Musk did, et cetera, and the like, and Michael Saylor openly, you know, in terms of, I bought Bitcoin and I sell Bitcoin, and I borrow on it and I leverage what I borrow, and it's not against the law. It's not underhanded. It's a way of doing it. And the people who are investing with him, stock value of MicroStrategy is going up on the basis of, it's all out front. Now, Elon Musk got some shady stuff going on, but the point is, what he's doing is not against the law. But had it in the other forms of assets, it would be considered insider trading and that kind of thing. You invest in something, and then you put out a tweet and you put out information that will cause that in something, that something that you invested in, to either go up or down. Then you buy after you influence it to go down. By something, by information that you put out there, then, you know, on the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ or whoever else, is like, that's jail time, right? But it's not the case right now in the unregulated aspects of cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and the like. And so the point is, it's open territory for whoever can and want to be in there. But again, if you are quote unquote small, In those relative terms, and uncertain about what it is that you're involved in, you're purely speculating, operating without any knowledge, then it's going to be a problem, because you don't know why what is happening is happening. You don't know what to do when it does happen. And so that's a part of where the government steps in as an excuse to say, well, we have to protect you. we have to protect you from yourself. And there's a plus and minus side of that. So the point is to understand, so it's not a competition, and the point is it's to understand the way that they play together. Okay, so right now the price is down, whatever, 39,300, right, down from 65,000. And what George pointed out, and unfortunately the size of the graphics on the notes that I had was too large, but go to the YouTube on the link that I sent you in the notes, and you can see the whole thing, see it for yourself. The point is that what they call Glassnode and they call on-chain analysis, there are literally sites that will tell you, okay, this is what happened when this dip happened. There are those who, well, let me go ahead and look at it, try to give a little bit of clarity if I can. Okay, charts. All right. Listen well, dear brothers and sisters. All right. Two things that I have to mention. There's the OTC. OTC. OTC means over the counter. Right? All right. If I'm a big boy, right, and I want to buy Bitcoin, and I want to buy a lot of it, but I don't want to buy it on the, here's another market, the spot market, OTC, behind the scenes, right? The spot market, that's where the little guy, the retail guy, goes. So, but I want to buy 5,000 Bitcoin, right? I'm not going to go to the spot market to buy 5,000 Bitcoin, because what that's going to do, that's going to make the price go up. If I go there and I buy, so now it's buying and some, it's going to make the price go up, right? So why would I do that? Because that means I'm going to have to pay more for the Bitcoin, right, when I go to the spot market and buy it. So I go to the OTC market, the over-the-counter market. That means I go somewhere where it's not going to move the spot market price. The spot market price is where I'm valuing my Bitcoin. I value it on the basis of what the spot market says, but I buy it OTC when I can. So there are those that are back there, even like the miners. Right? It's like going straight to the miners to buy it. Okay, look, before you take that to the market, I'll take it right here, and I'll give you this for it, right? So then they get the Bitcoin without moving the spot market. So they have that much value. But that same Bitcoin, as an example, that they bought on OTC, now they can go to, here's a third one. I mean, you just gotta study it, right? 10th chapter, 100th verse of the Quran. Those of you who are with us on Sunday, we emphasize this. 10th chapter, 100th verse, 10:100. It says, none can believe except by the will of Allah, and Allah will send uncleanness on those who fail to use their brains, right? And we boiled it down to a statement that of having faith in your brains. Faith in your brains. You have to study. You have to read. You have to get knowledge. You have to get the information. You have to get the information. And then that information, it works both ways. When you have more information, then you have more confidence. When you have more confidence, then you have more faith in what you know. And having faith in what you know, then you'll act in a way, inshallah, in accordance with that knowledge in which you have faith because you have studied it. And then, therefore, you get the benefit of it. So while I talk about it, you should make this homework. Make it homework for yourself. If you're talking about long-term wealth, don't wait just like, okay, well, Monday, sure, I'm going to be talking for an hour about it, and I'll get more. No, you need to spend your own time on that. OTC, find out what that is. The spot market, the derivatives market, find out what that is. Okay? خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا, Imam Muhammad, methodology, said, when you know these four things about anything, then you know everything about that thing. That doesn't only apply to Quran and religion. You can use that same principle to apply that. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for the spot market. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for the OTC market. خَلَقَ سَوَى قَدْرَ هَذَا for the derivatives market. They have a life. They have an existence. They have a form. They have a place within the system. When you understand that, then you understand. So in my brief, simplified explanation of it, the point is that the on-chain analysis allows you and those who have shown it to us in this most recent scenario, they're saying, look, this is something that the whales are doing. This is not a natural scenario where these prices are falling this way because that's just nature. No. When you do the on-chain analysis, when you compare what was the level of movement of Bitcoin at the dip, what was the level of movement of Bitcoin at the height, and which addresses were moving, which were making the moves at that time, you can see that every time this one went to the left, Bitcoin went to the right. Every time this one went to the right, Bitcoin went to the left, right? And so the point is that these examples that George gave, they pointed out that the inflows that came into the spot exchange were coming in anticipation of selling their Bitcoin. So I can't explain the whole thing. The point is that when certain flows came in, then certain impact was the price, right? And so therefore, the point is that there's a causal relationship. So when certain people with a certain magnitude of Bitcoin can move Bitcoin in and out of the spot exchanges, it is that movement in and out of the spot exchanges that influence the price, right? So it seems to be a natural next question is like, you know, well, how do you control that when people can do that, quote unquote, at will? They can do that right now in a way for that, but it doesn't matter because if you own one Bitcoin and it's 39,000 now, that same Bitcoin was 65,000 before, and that same Bitcoin is going to be worth six figures somewhere down the road. This manipulation that exists right now, it has a limited shelf life and limited utility in terms of that, because in the end, as things progress, there's the manipulation itself. Like I'm talking right now, right? I'm talking right now, and I'm not at the top of the food chain. I'm talking right now, and other analysts and other people who are paying attention to that, like George and so many others, are saying, this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. Okay, well, the game's gonna have to be shifted somewhere and in some way, and you won't be able to manipulate the same way because everything is transparent on the blockchain. And they say, oh, you the one. Like F2 pool was long time ago because the timeline for cryptocurrency, it runs very fast. But in any case, the point is that, you know, really like, let's call it a month and a half ago, something like it. Oh, we see it's the Chinese miners, the F2 pool, et cetera, Glassnode shows us this, shows us that. And so it's like, now you got to hide your hand. You can't do that anymore, et cetera. So more and more of the exposure of these kinds of strategies are going to shut the door on the ability to do that. And then that manipulation, as it goes away, then the expected mathematical rise of the price and value of Bitcoin is going to continue to happen. Just like George pointed out in what he was pointing out, it's like the stock-to-flow model. Here's a word you should look up, Plan B. The guy's name is Plan B, the stock-to-flow model. Stock-to-flow model has been just like gold, right? How much gold is above ground? And how much is it being purchased or what have you? So it's like, where's the demand and where's the supply? What's the relationship? And then this is how it's going. Well, he did that, and that is a running analysis that's being done for Bitcoin. It's been going on and goes all the way back to the start of it, that despite the 39,000 price tag on Bitcoin right now after a collapse from, quote, unquote, 65,000, it's still in the stock to flow model. It's still right on target. You can talk about what you're experiencing right now, but when you look at the stock to flow model, where should it be at this time after the halving, halving, something you should look up to, where is it now? It's right on target. So for as far as cryptocurrency, as Bitcoin is concerned, it's exactly where it should be, even though that price variation, and this is why those who are really in touch with it say, stop looking at the price. Stop depending on the price. Stop making moves based on the price. What you going to do? You going to sell it? If Bitcoin was 90,000 today, it was 90,000, are you telling me you would sell it? I hope not. Now, there are other things in DeFi that you can do to do other things, but we don't need to talk about that right now. What I'm saying is that why are you worried about being 39,000? Well, what? If it was 90,000, would you sell it? I hope you wouldn't. You know, and if it was $200,000, would you sell it? And it's already moved from 200,000 from 65,000 up to 200,000. Why would you sell something that grows like that? And it, when you look in front of you, it might be, it will be, inshallah, 400,000. But you go, no, 200,000, that's enough for me. 200,000 of what? Of paper, fiat? Slave currency, mashallah, no. So the point is, stop looking at the price. Stop worrying about the price. Just put in what you and actually do DCA, dollar cost averaging, and plus also comp this. It's like the very fact that it's down so low, and where had you or have you bought any before it was 39,000? If you bought any before 39,000, you're still in profit right now. If you bought any before 39,000, you're still in profit right now. Even though it went up 65,000, came up, you still haven't lost anything if you bought before 39,000. So the point is, like, just get used to the ride. The one analogy, and I'm about to close out. The one analogy that I'll say for that, and read that little clip that I had on how the big boys play the game. In your notes, it's like this. What George pointed out, this is Cryptos R Us, YouTuber. He said, so some of you bought when the time, when, you know, all's rosy, everything is rosy in crypto. So you never went through any hard times. You never went through a real, you know, the quote unquote bear markets, let's call it. And so therefore now you're experiencing this collapse. I mean, even from 65,000 down to 39,000, that's like really, really scary for you because it's really your first time around in terms of seeing that kind of collapse. But if you've been there before, it's like, okay, yeah, that happens. It goes down, it comes back up, down 40%, down 80%, but then it comes right back. That's why I go with that bouncing back. It's like you keep bumping me against the wall. I know I let you slide before, but it's coming back, right? All right, so in the same way, my analogy is like flying on an airplane. You fly on an airplane. Now, if you've flown on an airplane before, then you've been through turbulence, especially depending on how much you have flown. You've been through turbulence. You've been to those places. I know. I've been in many situations where all I can say is, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, La ilaha. I know that ain't funny. It certainly ain't funny at that time. But it's like, come on, man. You just got to say it. So if these are the last things that you're going to say, then make sure that that's what you said. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So it feels. And then you get off the plane, and Quran talks about this kind of thing. You get off the plane and you forget that you were even in that moment where you say, man, is this the end? I mean, have I done everything that Allah intends me to do? You mean I'm going out now? Am I finished? It's like, no. But it was like that. But then when you get off the plane, you forget all about it, right? Okay, but now somebody who's flying for the first time, their first bit of turbulence, oh, man, they are totally undone. It's enough vomiting and other liquids coming from other places, like, man, it's scary. Okay, well, it can be the same way with Bitcoin. That's why it's called HODL, hold on for dear life. You know, it's like, oh, man, look at what happened. But somebody who's flown before has said, yeah, it happens. You know, and inshallah, and all the time we've landed okay, inshallah, it will be okay this time. It's all inshallah. So just have that understanding. All right, so look at your notes. Go to those links. Follow up a little more before I absolutely shut down. I'll give any comments before we close out. I know I sought to touch on some of the points in the comments, the questions that were raised. If there's any lack of clarity, try to close out on anyone, especially Georgetta, Dante, who introduced the first idea. Also, anybody else? Before we go, all right. Well, me. Oh, okay. Here you go. Imam Joel, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Imam, and everybody in the class on the call. I ain't gonna hold nobody up. I just wanted to. What I've noticed when I'm looking at it, you know. I'm past daily. I'm daily looking at it hourly, just keeping an eye on it. But I'm keeping an eye on not just Bitcoin. I'm keeping an eye on Ethereum, you know, and because they seem, and so I'm looking at the trends, and you was talking about that, the trends, what things going opposite, but they seem to be mirroring each other. And that's very unique when I was looking at that, I've been looking at that for a while, and I've been like, you know, I'm like, one goes down and one other one goes down, and it's just like, you know, and I know that, you know, we've talked about, especially Brother Malik, he talked about it, may Allah, you know, continue to heal him and help him and get him back to, you know, full health. But I know he talked about the what we should be looking at as far as other things besides that. I think he even mentioned said that it was considered to be halal, that they were saying that it could be halal. But I was watching the parallel between them, and of course that's where I'm at. So of course I'm watching them too. But I noticed that, so I just wanted to mention that and to go with what you were saying, Brother Ma'am. So
yeah, alhamdulillah. Excellent observation. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, we have to keep pay attention to the correlations. I have nothing to add to that. You got it.
Alhamdulillah. All right. I appreciate you, brother, man.
All right, man. Likewise.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. All right, everybody. That's it. We're going to sign off for tonight. Keep paying attention. Do your study. Add information to your brains, inshallah, put faith in it. Assalamu alaikum.
Why must we feel our futures so uncertain? Why must we feel our presence is a burden? Living day to day, crumbs from the table. This dependency must end. I know that we are able to build a life.
support our good leader.